तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टां स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वावलम्बिकम् अददनस्त्रिनन्दन्तैर्विधं यच्चै पुनः पुनः श्रीमरूपपदाम्बुजो दुलिस्यां जन्म जन्मनि। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासुरी गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वामस्तमरसक्षस्य भुजदण्डसपट्टुव क्रीडकन्दुकटं येन नितो गोवर्धनो गिरिः। वामस्तमरसाक्षस्य
बाम, वी नो बाम, वी हर्ड हौ राधारानी शी इज लेफ्ट विङ्गर्, इज़न्ट इट? यू हर्ड शी इज ऑलवेज वेरी कंट्ररी, Chandravali is always very submissive. So Bama means left. So Bama's Tamara Sakshasya. Tamara is a very interesting word, not very often used, but it means lotus flower. So here it says Tamara Sakshasya. So Krishna, he's got eyes just like lotus flower. Bama's Tamara Sakshasya. Bhuja Danda Sapatubha. And his Bhuj, his left Bhuj. What was it doing? Krida Kandukatam Jena. Just like Krida, just like Plato, he was lifting that Govardhan hill. Krida Kandukatam Jena, Nito Govardhan Ogari. He was just lifting that Govardhan hill, just like a little Plato. So, Bhuja Danda Sapatume, that left hand of the lotus eyed Lord Krishna that lifted the Govardhan hill, just like a child lifts up a Plato, may that left hand always bless and protect us. This verse you can also find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is kept in, Rupa Goswami has kept it in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also. You may recognize the translation from there. So this verse, we'll get to that in a little while. This is another verse chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know the verse he was chanting while he was doing his Govardhan Prakrama. What was that? Everyone knows? Antaya Madhirabala Haridasa Vaja, Antaya Madhirabala Haridasa Vaja. Oh, we have a whole bunch of new people here. Alright, so we're in Govardhan, and Mahaprabhu, when he was doing Govardhan Prakrama, he was chanting from the 10th canto, 21st chapter, 18th verse. This was his Prakrama mantra. So we'll do word by word and then we'll get everyone to chant. Antayam Adrir Avala Haridasa Vaja Yam Rama Krishna Charanam Sparsham Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayoryat Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandamula. So we'll try. Hantaya Madhirabala Haridasa Vaja, Hantaya Madhirabala Haridasa Vaja, Yam Rama Krishna Charanam Sparasam Pramoda, Yam Rama Krishna Charanam Sparasam Pramoda, Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryat, Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryat, Paniya Suyavasa Kannara Kandamula. So this was Mahaprabhu's Prakrama verse, but we're going to go around to the other side of the hill in a little minute and we'll see where Lord Chaitanya chants this beautiful mantra. So now we leave. We were at Govindakund. We just heard about the wonderful pastime of Govindakund, and also earlier or later pastime, we should say, Madhavendra Puri stayed there at Govindakund. And Madhavendra Puri, he is the first in our parampara to manifest ecstatic love for Sri Krishna. He is the seed from which the beautiful flower of ecstatic praying has blossomed. Like that. Just like as soon as Lord, we saw when he met the Sanodiya Brahman in Mathura and saw his ecstatic love, his dancing and singing in ecstasy, immediately understood he must have some connection. So then when he told that he was disciple of Madhavendra Puri, then he was in ecstasy. So, bowing down at the lotus feet of Madhavendra Puri, that maybe someday he will bless us and that we can get some idea what this ecstatic Krishna praying is all about. We will continue on our prakrama. We'll go along the side of Govardhan Hill. There's a very beautiful forest path. And we go along the side of the hill of Govardhan. Now we come to the tail. We told before Govardhan is shaped like a peacock. So now this side is very tall. But it eventually comes down. And just before we reach the end, we come across two very beautiful kunds, Naval Kund and Apsara Kund. So we know Krishna, he's always ever fresh. Ever fresh means Navayovana. Advaita Machute Manadi Mananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham. He is the Purana Purusham. That means he's old man. Therefore we see in West they draw God with big white, long white hair, long white beard. Because what happens, we see, is coming. The hair becomes white when you become old. But even though Purana Purusham, he's the oldest person, Nava Yovanam Cha, he's always just like a fresh youth. This is materialistic concept of God that Michelangelo wrote, drew on the, painted on the Sistine Chapel, that he's got a long white beard. He's very old, so it must be very long also. Like we saw so many sadhus in Kumbh Mela with big, sometimes they tie also in so many knots, sometimes also all mixed, all tangled up with tree sap and so many things, big long. So he must be very old, so long. But he's Navayovan, he's always like fresh youth. So as we told, this is the season, this Basant. And this is a season where Ras Lila is taking place on the side of Govardhan Hill. So just at this place, Krishna wanted to rest. So he came here to this Naval Kund to refresh himself. So gopis, they were very beautiful, especially because dancing Rasa with Lord Krishna, being blessed by him, they became even more beautiful. They were so beautiful, just like Apsaras. And their love for Krishna overflowed and became this Apsara Kund. Just nearby, just to be nearby Krishna, they manifested, their love manifested as this Apsara Kund. Now we've come to the tail end. So in Hindi, when we want to say tail, we say Poonch. Poonch. So this village is known as Poonchari. As we come around the corner, we see my favorite deity in all of Govardhan Hill, Puntarika Lotababa. There's one little temple there. There's a little orange fellow sitting there with his mouth wide open and he's just staring, and he has many interesting histories. One is that he was Sakha. He was friend of Lord Krishna. And one day he decided to cook a nice feast for his friend. And while he was cooking, he looked up, he saw Krishna and Balaram, they were on a chariot drawn by some very mysterious looking fellow, very richly dressed, like he must be from Mathura someplace. And they were riding in that chariot, and he called up, he said, "Oh Kanha! Oh Kanha! I just made nice feast for you." And Krishna spoke immortal words. Even now we hear these words. Because we know, in Bhagavad Gita, he told, yad yad acharati shresthas, whatever the great man does, the common people will follow. So till today, we still hear these words. He called out to Lota Baba, he said, just now coming. You've heard these words many times. This is Amar Shabd. Eternal words. Everyone is following the direction of the... And they follow also. They don't come. They say just now coming. They don't come. So, Lota Baba said, well, I just cooked this nice feast. I won't eat anything until you come. And Krishna, I'm just now coming. If not tonight, then certainly tomorrow morning I will come. Well, I'm not going to eat anything until you come. He said, if not tomorrow morning, then certainly the day after that I'll come. Well, I'm not eating anything until you come. No, I'm just now coming. You don't worry. If not the day after that, then certainly the day after that. So, as we know, Krishna went off to Mathura. That awfully dressed fellow, that was Akura, and he took him off to Mathura. He never returned. And Lota Baba is sitting there for 5,000 years. Just waiting. His mouth is open. He doesn't take anything. But sometimes you'll see the devotees come and they push pear in his mouth. But he... just 5,000 years he's sitting there. Waiting and waiting. So, we can take this example from Lota Baba. That's how he got his name, because to return in Hindi we say lautna. So kab laut aiga. Kab laut aiga. When my friend will come back. So he's waiting for Krishna to laut aiga. So he became known as Lota Baba. And he's waiting for he's got such patience and determination. Just like we know in the prayers of Lord Brahma, in the 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, very beautiful chapter, filled with so many wonderful prayers. And this prayer is also kept in Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion. Tatte nukamba susumikshamana bunjane vatmakite vipakam ridvagvapubi ridayam namaste jiveta jo mukti pade sadaya bhak. That those who go on suffering the reactions of their past misdeeds, patiently waiting to get the mercy of Krishna. Very patiently waiting to receive the mercy of Krishna. Going on, offering obeisances from the core of their hearts. Like that. Then jiveta jo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Mukti pade doesn't mean mukti. It means the place where even mukti gets mukti. Well, the place you go after you get mukti. Mukti pade, that means the Golokdham, kingdom of God. So those persons, jiveta, who live their lives like this, they become, daya means, you know daya? Well, you know another word, daya, which means mercy. But daya means to inherit. It's like, where have you heard that word before? It's sampradaya. We heard this word sampradaya. Because in Sanskrit they like to put funny little suffixes on to make the word a little more attractive. So daya is not enough, so they put pradaya. And then just to make it even more full, they put sampradaya. So meaning is that our previous acharyas, they have inherited a huge wealth of knowledge and devotion. And they're passing that on. We're inheriting that from our spiritual masters because we're in the sampradaya. In the parampara, 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 means parampara, parampara, it's called parampara, it's coming down and down, parampara, parampara, from one to one to one, one to one, parampara. So, we're inheriting all of that huge wealth of knowledge and devotion, therefore that is called sampradaya. So those persons, they inherit the kingdom of God. Now Sridhar Swami, in his tika, in his commentary on this verse, what does he say? He says, he asks the question, what does the son have to do to inherit the property of his father? He just has to stay alive. When the father dies, automatically he'll inherit all the property of his father. That's all he has to do, is stay alive. So the same way, somehow or other, taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, just like we have this wonderful festival, Gaur Purnima, here in Mayapur Dham, and then later in Vrindavan, and all the Vaishnavas come, and we get to associate. So somehow or other, we just want to associate, taking help of all the Vaishnavas, and serving the Vaishnavas, and associating with the senior Vaishnavas. Somehow or other, we just want to tread water in Krishna, somehow stay alive in Krishna consciousness. One day, jiveta jo mukti pade, sadaya bhak. One day you will inherit the kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan. Just somehow or other take shelter of the Vaishnavas and remain alive anyway, anyhow, in Krishna consciousness. So Lota Baba, he's got another interesting history. Because if you look closely, you'll see right beside him is a huge stick. All the cowherd boys, they have cowherd sticks that we call lati. But Lota Baba's lati is so big, we can't call it lati anymore, because lati means small stick. So it's called Lota. And he's very proud of that stick. When Lala was holding up the Govardhan Hill, then Lota Baba thought, you must be tired, so he put his stick. And he was very proud of his stick, that actually my Lota is so big, and it's holding up this hill. Everyone thinks Lala's holding up. Krishna, he's in everyone's heart. He understood, so he let the hill come down a little bit. Then Lota Baba was, he said, no, actually Lala, he's holy. Then it went back up. So the, paying our respects to Lota Baba, we'll turn around. Now we're going around the punch, the end of Govardhan Hill. And as we come along, first we find very beautiful little cave, one of the few caves that's left, at least to our material vision. I mean, there's millions of caves on Govardhan Hill that we can't see. But this is called Mani Manikanda, or something like that. Beautiful jeweled cave. And there's one Raghava Pandit, who's different from our Raghava Pandit in Gaurlila, but he was also in Gaurlila, but he lives there in this cave doing his bhajan. This is one of the few caves. There's a little tiny door we can just, it's dark inside, you can just see through a little window, a little cave is there. This is one of the wonderful places where Lord used to enjoy his transcendental pastimes. And then as we go down the ways, we'll see beautiful kadamba tree, one of the most beautiful kadamba trees in the whole of Braj. Huge! It just spreads its leaves and beautiful leaves, and they built a little base underneath it, and the Brijbasi is there giving out water. And this is a nice place to sit down and hear a wonderful story from Skanda Purana about the glories of doing Govardhan Prakrama, since we're doing Govardhan Prakrama. One time, we remember that there was solar eclipse. So when there's solar eclipse, generally people go to Kurukshetra. So all Lord and all the residents work at, they came to Kurukshetra. So the residents of Braj also thinking that Lord must have gone to Kurukshetra, they also went there. Now all these fellows from Dwarka, there was unlimited opulence. So they were all riding around in their big chariots and riding in horses and great big armor and jeweled armulets and big crowns, and they were just great big persons and just riding around. And all of these poor little Brijbasis, you know, they're just there, you know, they don't have any big crowns, they just have their cloth tied around their head, you know, like this. And they're just looking, this big chariot goes by and, you know, almost get stomped by an elephant, you know. So, Lord was seeing this, that people weren't actually paying any attention to his people. Because these are really his people. People, the residents of Dwarka think that he's their people, but these Brijbasis is really his people. So he was thinking, they're not, you know, they're just totally bewildered by all these huge warriors from Dwarka. So he called Yogamaya aside and spoke something to her ear. And then, excusing himself, he left the assembly of the Yadavas and disappeared. As soon as he was gone, suddenly they looked down the road and there was a cow stuck in the quicksand. There was a big puddle of quicksand somehow there, and there was this cow, and she was crying and crying, and everyone was thinking, oh, this cow is going to sink into the quicksand. And you know, quicksand, the more you struggle, the deeper you go, and animals, they can't understand that. I mean, human beings, we can understand that I have to remain still, Because the more you struggle, you push one hand like this down, and it gets sucked, you know, and then the other, you get sucked, and it's zoop, zoop, zoop. So they were all very disturbed what to do, and they were all looking at this cow, and she was crying and mooing and struggling, and she's going down and down, and everyone, where's Devakinanda? Where's, I don't know, he was here a minute ago. Everyone, they all looked, and they were all thinking, what can we do? And they're all thinking, they're big kings, this mud, you know, how are they going to go in the mud, you know? And they'll also go down. So they're all thinking what to do. So that moment when everybody was finally, they were all saying, where's Devakinanda? Where's Devakinanda? Where's Devakinanda? Suddenly, Lord appeared. He said, what's the matter? He said, this cow is sinking into the mud, into the quicksand. The Lord said, you're all big Maharatis, big warriors. You can't say, well, there's so much quicksand. He said, no, just anybody who's performed 100 asamay yajnas, by the power of his, by that punya, he will be able to lift this cow right out of the mud without any problem. So everybody began to think, somebody had done two, somebody had done three. They remembered Indra also came to watch what was going on. Well, he did 99, but nobody did 100. And they said, there's nobody here. Somebody did 50, somebody did 60, Indra did 99, said, no one's here. So then Lord, he called one Brijbasi, one little simple Brijbasi was there. Yeah. And he called him over and said, you know, asked him that by the power of 100 asvame jagas, you should pull this cow out of the quicksand. So that Brijbasi, he sat down and began to meditate, offering the punya of 100 asvame jagas, and the cow was just lifted right out of the mud and came onto the ground. Everyone said, wait a minute, where did this little guy, this little cowherd, where in the world did he do asvame jaga? And Lord said, you don't know? Every day this fellow is herding his cows all around Govardhan Hill. Every time he goes around Govardhan Hill, that's as good as hundreds of asvame yajnas. He's done thousands of asvame yajnas. One prickham around Govardhan is good as 100 asvame yajnas. Like that. So then all the people of Dwarka, they were very much astonished at these residents of Braj, and they began to offer proper respects to them. So just nearby that place, there's a little temple on top of the hill, and there's steps, but we shouldn't go up there. Although the Brijbasis will invite you, because we following footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't step on Govardhan Hill. But there's a temple up there of Doka Dauji. We know Dauji. Who's Dauji? Balaram. Why? Why is he called Dau? Because he's elder brother. He's elder brother, so he's called Dauji. And younger brother we call Kanaya. Dauji Kabaiya. Krishna Kanaya, Dauji Kabaiya, Krishna Kanaya, Dauji Kabaiya, Dauji Kabaiya, Bansi Vajaya, Bansi Vajaya, Makana Chureya, Makana Chureya, Makana Chareya, Rasa Rachaya, Rasa Rachaya, Giribaru Chaya, Giribaru Chaya, Dauji Kabaya, Bolo Sri Dauji Maharaj Ki Jai. So, in the proper etiquette, when Krishna is with all his sakis, because Balaram has got his own sakis, then it's not proper for older brother to be there. This is not the proper etiquette. But one time, Dauji, he heard this beautiful celestial, must have been the spring season, this pasant, and he heard this beautiful singing and dancing and musical instruments and such. It was so nectarine, he climbed on top of the Govardhan Hill, because I told just on that side of Govardhan, that's where Ras is going on. He looked, he saw Ras Leela was going on. That was not proper for him to be there, so he ducked down. So he's Doka Dauji. He ducked down because he couldn't take his eyes away. It was so beautiful sight. He couldn't take his... He ducked down, so this is Doka Dauji Mandir. So then as we go further along, there's a little grove of trees, and there's a little red sandstone entrance, and we go inside that little entrance, and there's steps down to this lake, and the whole world just disappears. And it's just like here, all you can hear is these birds. Srivikunda, just like this, you just delete this little boy sound, and this is the sound of... You just go there, whole, just Govardhan, everything, whole universe, just this is the sweetest place on Govardhan Trikama. And this, of course, is the place we heard the other day, how Indra, Surabhi came there and just told Lord that, after all, even if millions of Indras attack Govardhan Hill, what can they do? Nothing. So what is this? He's very insignificant. You see this person standing behind me with tears flowing from his eyes. He's feeling very ashamed of himself. He's actually your devotee. He just got a little confused, you know, so you should actually excuse him. And Krishna told, my dear Saravi, if you agree to excuse him, then I'm ready to excuse him millions and millions of times. So this is a trick. We always have to take shelter of a devotee. So Indra took shelter of a devotee. Then here at this place, this is a very special place because all the aparads are removed at this place, Surabhikun. So this is a very important place. So moving on from there, we come to the village of Jatipur. Now Jati or Yati is the name of sannyasi. So who was the sannyasi who was wandering in this place? Madhavendrapuri. This is Jatipur, just opposite of Govindakund. So because Madhavendrapuri stayed there for some time, and he was a yati, he was a sannyasi, this place has become known as Jatipur. Although right now, it's named after Madhavendrapuri, but it's a big headquarters for Ballabha Sampradaya. If you go there, you will find so many Ballabha Sampradaya temples there. And also, the Mukharavind, accepted by the Ballabha Sampradaya, is there. They're all day long. There's so many shops filled with milk sweets and pots of milk, and you can take pots or big pots, or you can take buckets and you can pour, do Abhishek of Giriraj in this place. Although you're warned, because most of the people in Ballabha Sampradaya, they don't follow Mahaprabhu. So there's one lower Shila. If you want to bathe Giriraj here, you should do the lower shila. Don't step on top of the hill to go to the big shila. Passing along that place, we come to Dandoti Shila. You know Dandot. You know Dandavat. But sometimes these V's, you see sometimes in Sanskrit, sometimes the V will turn into a U, so the other word becomes an AU, like that. So it ends with AV, but then, you know, Sadhu, but then somehow became Sadhu. Anyway, some word is there. So somehow they just like to change those Vs into Us, and then so Dandavat becomes Dandot. And you'll see, especially when we go to Kumbh Mela, you'll see all the Sadhus when they see their old friend, they, oh, Dandot Maharaj, Dandot! Huh? Or even in Braj, when you're walking and two Sadhus will meet, Dandot! Huh? They will call out, Dandot! And sometimes we'll see on the side of Govardhan Hill, we'll see some sadhu is sitting there. He's got a big pile of rocks. And what is he doing? He's doing Dandot. Dandavat. So he'll take one stone and place it down to his Dandavat. Then he'll come back, take another one. And when he's got 108 stones there, then he'll put his feet next to that pile of stones and move up one dandavat, and then go under. Some people are just doing one. They pay their dandavat, pick up the stone, do one. Like that many times you'll see. In fact, sometimes you'll see villagers come with their wives. Now somehow or other people have got some sort of conception that Vedic culture discriminates against women. And they've got this thing in their brain somehow or another. But actually, according to Vedic Shastra, a woman, without doing anything, she gets 50% of all the punya of her husband. He has to work hard, make a lot of money, do a big jagya, or do some special thing, or take his wife on pilgrimage to all the holy places. You know, he has to do all this stuff. She doesn't do anything. Just be his wife. She gets 50% automatically. Huh? She doesn't do anything. Huh? So we'll see, sometimes the villagers come, he's doing dandot, the wife is going along behind, just touching his feet, taking the 50% like this. So you can all challenge your husbands to go to Govardhan Hill, do dandoti prikrama, you just have to walk behind taking your 50%. So, sometimes we see people with a little pot. This has become also fashionable in Govardhan. You see two little pots. One has got some cow dung and some incense, and incense is burning. And the other pot, you're walking by, is, oh, excuse me, sir, you got a hole in your pot. You know, sometimes the devotees, they don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, they feel this dripping on their ankles, you know. What's going on? The guy just went by with this pot. He's doing dood prikama, milk prikama. They take a big pot of milk, and they put a little hole in the bottom, and they go around the whole prikama pad, all around the... Everywhere, sometimes they have a servant walking along with a bucket and he fills it up, and or they just stop at the next shop and fill it up, and then like this. So anyway, we've come to this Dandoti Shila. That's where we started, Dandoti Shila. So Dandoti Shila means, if you just do your Dandavat Prikama around this Shila, that counts for doing whole Govardhan Prikama. So you don't have to go, just go straight there to Yatipur, do around the Dandoti Shila, you've done your Dandoti Prikama, you get the whole benefit. But anyway, since it's so nice, we'll continue on our prakrama. From Yatipur, we come down. There's a long way with not very beautiful forest passes there, but not so much pastimes are taking place. Usually we stop, there's a little Satyanarayan temple, doesn't have anything to do with no specific pastime, but just beyond that is Gantuli Gram and Gulal Kund. So Gulal, this is the favorite of our Western devotees when they come to India, and there's a big procession going on, a big festival is going on, especially now in a few days. Another 10 more days in Barsana on the Nomi day. Huge holy festival will take place. So Gulal is this wonderful pink color that you all enjoy so much. So, in fact, this is the season. At this season, Krishna went there to this by this Gantoli Gram, and all the sakis were there, and huge holy festival was going on. They were throwing gulal, this powder. They were throwing this powder and throwing powder, and sakis were throwing powder, and Krishna was throwing powder, and everyone was, huge festival was going on. So much powder they threw that all the trees became pink, the ground became pink, the birds became pink, the bees became pink. You couldn't tell which was a crow and which was a kokila until you heard them speak, you know. When you heard the kokila, then you could tell what was a kokila and what was a crow. Everything, the sky was red, everything was red. The kunda became red also, became beautiful pink color, so it became known as Gulal Kund. Big, huge clouds of dust of pink dust were flying and flying. So after some time, they became tired. So two stones there suddenly manifest beautiful thrones. And Radha and Krishna sat down on these thrones, and all the sakis were sitting there, enjoying the transcendental bliss of seeing the divine couple as they were sitting together and resting and laughing and joking and enjoying wonderful pastimes, except for two. There are two little sakis were there. One whispered something in the ear of the other one. The other one... And they snuck out of the assembly of sakis, and they went through the bushes, and the other one were just thinking about the pastime they're about to do. She can't keep. The other one's crossing her eyes. And they snuck all around very quietly, came up behind the divine couple, and they took the end of Srimati Radhika's sari and the end of Nandanandan's chadar, and they tied it together in a gant. You know grant. Hridaya grantis, huh? But in Hindi we say gant. Gant means knot. They made a gant. So then they snuck back through the bushes. And then they sat down like good little sakis in the assembly of sakis. And after Radha and Krishna were rested for some time, then suddenly they stood up. As soon as they stood up, then they found Radharani practically fell over. She banked, as she got up, she practically bumped right into Krishna. And they found their chadar and sari were knotted together, just like in marriage. And all the gopis began to sing marriage songs. And Radharani became embarrassed and pulled her sari over top of her. So this place became known as, and even today, Gantoli Gram. When you go across, past Govardhan, the village of Govardhan, you go down the road towards Rajasthan, then you come to Gantoli Gram. Now remember, Mahaprabhu, he refused to walk on top of Govardhan Hill, but he wanted to get darshan of Gopal. Because remember, Gopal's temple was on top of the hill, still there you can see. So he was very much anxious to get darshan of Gopal. So at that time, some pastime manifested where someone came and said, some Turkish soldiers are coming, grab your deity and run. And he grabbed the deity and he ran. And he went to the village of Gantoli and hid the deity in one Brahmin's house and one night and another Brahmin's house another night. So somehow when Mahaprabhu came on that side of Govardhan, he got the news that Gopal was staying in Gantoli Gram. So then he came there to Gantoli Gram and he got darshan of Gopal. When he saw this beautiful, if you've ever seen Srinathji, he's so beautiful. Just like last 3 or 4 days, if you're watching it on your way to Mangalarti, you see that little crescent moon and he's becoming smaller and smaller. So just about 5 days back, if you saw that, just like that, he's got beautiful eyes like this and his left hand is reaching up to hold Govardhan on top. The tip of his finger, a beautiful deity with his legs crossed and three beautiful tree banga and holding Govardhan Hill. This exquisitely beautiful deity. So as soon as Mahaprabhu got darshan, then he began to chant this mantra. Bhamas tamara saksasya bhuja danda sapattuva krida kanduka tamjena nito Govardhano giri. That made that left hand Tamaras Akshasya. Aksha means eye. Tamaras Sakshasya. Who has eyes just like a lotus flower. And who lifted that Nito Giri Govardhan Ogiri. He lifted that Govardhan Krida Kandukatam. Just like a play toy. Bhuja Danda Sapattuva. May that Bhuja, that left hand, always bless and protect you. So these are mentioned, and you can find this verse there in Chaitanya Charitamrita and learn this verse. This is also chanted by Mahaprabhu as he did his Govardhan Prakrama. And he stayed there for a few days and relished the darshan of, beautiful darshan of Gopal. So then as we move ahead, we again come to Dangati. We know Dangati, where there's a little pass. The mountain comes down, there's a little pass. So we heard one pastime. Another time, Krishna set up a little toll booth there, and the gopis and all the sakis came with big pots of butter and yogurt and milk and ghee and so many things. And Nandanandan and all his Saka, Subal and Madhumangal and all of them were all there with their sticks to block the way. He said, no, you can't pass through here without paying tax. You're making big profit selling all this butter and yogurt and you're not giving any tax to your king. And it is that since when you became the king of Vrindavan, we don't know anyone. As far as we're concerned, Srimati Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and we don't have to give tax to any king. So since when you became the king? When did the property change hands, huh? Was it your grandfather, your great-grandfather? Please tell us. You know. He said, no, I'm the king of Vrindavan. He said, we never heard about any property transfer. As far as we're concerned, Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. He said, no, Vrindavan belongs to Vrindadevi, and Vrindadevi is my wife. That all oh, you big liar. Vrindadevi would never be your wife. No, you go and ask her, you go, bring her. So they brought they all went out and they brought Vrindadevi back and said, is this rascal your wife, your husband? Vrindadevi, I would never marry such a black fellow. All the gopis laughed. You big liar. And Krishna was stunned and they all ran across without paying any tax. So. So after we cross Dangati, then we enter back into the town of Govardhan. And we pass by Chakleswar. We already heard about Chakleswar. And then we start on a very long path. Not so many pastimes to hear. We finally come to Uddhav Kund. We already heard about Uddhav remaining there on the side of Kusum Sarovar, his little blades of grass. There's a beautiful little temple there. And a very, very magic Kund. Whenever we do this prakrama, especially in the Mayapur Vrindavan festival time, it's quite hot. And somehow it's a tiny little Kund, but it's always very, very cool and refreshing. As soon as you jump in that Kund, it's a magic Kund. You're ready to go on another whole, we're almost at the end of the prakrama, and you're ready to go again for a whole other prakrama as soon as you jump in this Kund. It's a magic Kund. All the devotees have experienced this. But there's a very nice pujari there. His name is Giriraj. Now he tells the story. He claims that his father did 5,000 Govardhan prakramas to get him as a son. Because we don't do Govardhan prakrama with materialism. But Prisbhasi is very simple. But anyway, he made this vow because they have got faith on Govardhan. So five, we figured out somewhere between 12 and 15 years it takes. 365. Days in a year, so somewhere between 12 and 15 years he did prakrama of Govardhan until finally Giriraj came as his son came. He named him Giriraj. So now again we enter into, from there we enter into Radhakund from the other side. And just before we enter Radhakund, there's a little kund on the right side. This is called Shivakur, with a very long eye. It's actually Shiva, our Lord Shiva, is a very short eye. If you look, it's short eye. It doesn't have a line over top of it. But this one has Shivakur. And we already told before, we are Gwal Poker, the Vrijvasis, just like here, this little body of water behind us over here, this is called Pukur. And also behind here, there's Pukur. Everywhere you go, they dig a tank. In Bengal, it's called Pukur. So the Vrijvasis, they changed it to Poker. And finally, because they like to just make everything simple, it just became Kor. It's like we'll go to Barsana soon, we'll see Banu Kor, like that. So this is Shiva Kor. It was Shiva Pukur. Now, what is Shiva? Now, I don't know about other parts of Mayapur, but over here in the over here in the householder quarters, sometimes at night, you hear this, that just makes your skin crawl. Huh? You hear that sometimes other parts, over in the Gutta building and other parts, you hear that sound? Huh? That's the jackal. They all come at, very difficult to see them in the day. They're very shy and they come out and they all, sometimes it sounds just like, first time I heard, I thought some baby was crying, or what's going on, Vrindakun, they come sometimes. And, just your skin begins to crawl. It's just a weird, haunting sound. Anyway, this is a jackal. And jackals, they eat. You don't have to worry about it. It's a weird sound, but as long as you move, they won't bother you. When you stop moving, then you have to worry. Because they like to eat dead bodies. Very nasty form of life. Dead, rotten, but rotten. Because they're very shy, so they won't come till after the dogs and everybody else, and the vultures and everybody else's, whatever's left, because the jackals are very shy. They won't come around, anybody else is there. So they only, after it's rotten and dead and dried out, and then they come in. So what has this got to do with Radharani anyway? This place is called Shivakor because one time there was a young she-jackal. And somehow the village children, they were playing and they came near the bush where she was hiding. And when she came out of the bush, they said, "Oh, there's a jackal." They all began to throw stones at her and sticks and scream at her. And so she saw a little hole in the ground because they're very shy. So she ran inside the hole. So they just stuck sticks and branches and dried grass and all kinds of things. And they set it on fire. And she was just, crying like anything. And one of the sakis came running to Radharani that somebody in your holy dham is suffering and wailing like anything. And Radharani came there and put out the fire and pulled that shijaku. And by the touch, that shijaku became very beautiful gopi. So this is called Shivakor. In fact, this is the burning ghats of Radhakun. Because everybody feels, if somehow even the, we just told what a nasty form of life this is, even the she-jackal got the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So that at the last moment, you know, when the antim sanskar is going, this is the burning ghat. If this place is such an auspicious place that even the she-jackal got mercy of Radharani, then maybe at the last moment I'll be able to get Radharani's mercy. So this is the burning ghat of Radhakun, Shivakor. Then we come around into Radhakun, and then we see a little sign. If you read Hindi, it says pick up a path this way, and you go this way and you come to Kunjabihari Gaudiya Math, the beautiful deities of Radha Kunjabihari installed by the hand of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and also the Puspa Samadhi of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But if we don't turn there and you go backwards a little ways, you come to Malyahari Kunj. And Malyahari Kunj, as you may know, is where the wonderful pearl pastime started. Because all the gopikas with Srimati Radhika, they were sitting in Malyahari, Mala, they were making beautiful pearl necklaces because Diwali was coming and they wanted to have nice, everybody likes to decorate themselves very nicely on Diwali. Everyone dresses up and they give sweets to everyone. It's a big festival in India. So they all wanted to decorate themselves. So they were stringing beautiful pearl necklaces in that place. When Krishna's parrot told him about this, then he came with all his cowherd friends to the Malyahari Kunj. And he saw the gopikas there. And he begged them, "Please give me a few little pearls so I can string them and make necklaces." And the lotus-eyed gopis, they turned their faces and pulled their shawls and they just looked at him from the corner of their eyes, you know, and said, "These pearls are very valuable and cannot be given to anyone. For what purpose do you want?" He said, "I wanted to make some pearl necklaces for my cows." "For your cows, these pearls are only meant to decorate the beautiful daughters of the cowherd men. They're not meant for cows or other animals, you know." In this way, Krishna begged in so many ways, and the gopis, just joking with him, they just laughed at him and refused to give him any pearls. So then Krishna said, "All right, I'll show you. I'm going to get pearls better than best pearls." And he stormed off with his friends, and he dug up a field, and he put branches all around it, and he planted pearls. And then he went to his mother Yasoda, and he said, Mata, I planted some pearls in the field. I need some nice milk and ghee to water them." "Lala, what are you doing?" I said, "No, Mata, I know they'll grow. Just give me some butter." But Mother Yasoda, she's so enchanted with Lala. She, all right, she gave him the butter. What is he doing? So she gave him some ghee and butter. He went there, he watered his... And all the gopikas, they heard about this Krishna's pearl field. And they all went there and they were spying every day from a distance. They would see, and they see little leaves came out. Then they all laughed, "Oh, it's just sticker trees." But every day Krishna was watering it with milk, and gradually little little creepers began to crawl up and go here and there. Then suddenly little flowers came, and suddenly those flowers dropped, and little beautiful multicolored, pastel colored, some pink, some blue, some yellow, some green, some reddish, beautiful pastel colored pearls began to appear all over Krishna's vines. And they began to grow. They became very, some of them were very big pearls. And Krishna was very proud of his big pearl. Then all the sakis, they consulted amongst themselves, and now just see this, what this Nandanandan has done. He's got such wonderful pearls. Now what are we going to do? So they consulted with Nandimukhi. So Nandimukhi said, well, the soil of Braj is just like that. I'm sure if you plant pearls, they'll grow. Braj is a very wonderful place. I'm sure they'll grow. So they all went to their houses and took all the pearl ornaments they could find in their mother's closets and jewelry boxes, and they took all the pearls out of the jewelry, and they plowed a big field, four times bigger than Nandanandan's field. And they very carefully planted. And since he was using milk, they were using ghee to water. They were, all right, we're going to water ours with ghee. And after 3 or 4 days, only sticker bushes came out. Then they went, ah, this Nandimukhi, she's an agent for the other side. She's fooled us. And they all went to Nandimukhi, and Nandimukhi said, no, I swear that if you planted pearls, they'll grow. But did you put a fence around your field? Did you guard it? Oh, no! We didn't think about that. He says, Nandanandan must have come and stolen all the pearls out of the ground. Oh, no, now what are we going to do? Now when our elders find out that there's no pearls in the house, we're going to be in big trouble. Now what are we going to do? I guess we'll have to go there and try to negotiate something with this rascal. So they all went ahead, but Radharani doesn't want to come. So she hid in the bushes, you know. And she sent Kundalata and Champakalata ahead. So they all came there. And Krishna was there with his big pile of beautiful pearls. And the gopikas all came there and said, you know, Shamsundar, O Kanna, we would like to get some pearls. Well, these are not ordinary pearls. I mean, I can't just give them away for free, you know. I could give them for a cost. Well, how much do you think you'd like to get for one pearl? Well, I don't know. How much would you girls like to give for one pearl? I don't know, we don't have very much. Well, how much were you expecting? And then Madhumangal and Subal, they become the agents. Well, these are not ordinary pearls. These are very special pearls. You know, so the price will be very, very much. I don't know if you girls could actually pay for these pearls. Well, how much do you actually want for them? And then Nandanandan said, well, I don't see Radhika here, because if I sell these pearls, you have to come, each person who wants to buy a pearl has to come here and pay for herself. And those who don't come, they have to pay four times the price of those who do come. So you better call your friend, because I see her hiding there in the bushes. That's it. So, in this way, there's a big pearl argument. I think it's still going on. I don't think they've ever resolved this argument. But this pearl, they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But it all started from this Malyahari Kunj. Just, you know, now we go through the Gaudiya Math, we come around, we're back in Radhakund. We started from Radhakund, so now our Govardhan Prakrama is complete. Oh, Giriraj Maharaj Aki. What time is it? We have time to go somewhere else? Alright. So from here, we wander down a very lonely, long road to a place called Dig, which doesn't really have so many pastimes associated with it. All the Brijbasis told me this is called Lataban. This is where the cowherd boys used to come and get their latis. They find these nice sticks in that forest for getting latis, cowherd boy sticks. So this is called Vatavan. And there's a very beautiful palace there built by the king of Bharatpur for his summer residence. It's called Jal Mahal. It has hundreds and hundreds of fountains everywhere. And we wandered up one day and we saw 600,000 liter tank way on top of one of the palaces. And this is where all, they filled it up, and we saw there was a ramp like this. So we got, of course nowadays there's a big, we saw there's a big motor pump, but we speculated by seeing the ramp on both sides. There's a big well that goes down. That probably, there's little holes down the side, and there's little brass plaques, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, all around 232 sets of holes, and they can block them up or open them up as they like, and the water will go out to the different fountains here and there. Very beautiful, Jal Mahal. And so now we continue down the road to Badrinath. Before we reach Badrinath, now we're going to go do barefoot mountain climbing. This is very interesting on Braj Prika. Most of the time we have nice soft Braj to walk on. Here we get into the mountains and nice rocks and gravel. And as we go through the mountains, we come to a very interesting little place called Kadamba Kanan. Just like we have our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. So he's named after this place, Kadamba Kanan. Because Kanan means forest. It's like that song, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. You know, somewhere it says, Dvadasha Kanan. So Dva, you know, Dvadash. 12, Kanan, forest. So there's a beautiful forest of Kadamba trees where Krishna used to meet with the gopis and have wonderful pastimes in this place, Kadamba Kanan. And as we go along, then we get way up into the mountains, and we come to a very, very rural place. We pass through a little tiny village, just like if you saw Rupa Raghunath's calendar for, I think, is it for this year or was it for last year? He has all the beautiful pictures of the Brijbasi children. Two thousand one. He's got this beautiful calendar. You can see all the a lot of those pictures were taken in Adi Badri village. I don't even think there's. Well, I know in the temple there's electricity, but I don't know if anybody in the village has electricity. Very completely rural place. Very sweet place. And just temple almost looks just like Badrinath, the entrance and inside, they've decorated it so nicely with all types of mirrors and etched pictures on the mirrors, and so beautiful little place, and very peaceful and so quiet, and huge, gigantic tamarind trees, imli trees, and they're covering this little kund called Taptakund, Tapastyakund, or something like that. Because they're all shading and it's always very, very cold in that kund. And somehow we're always there on the Ekadasi day, and on Ekadasi all the young girls of the village come up and they sing such sweet little Brijbasi songs as they all come early in the morning, even though it's very cold. But they're all little girls, just like all these little girls, just this size. And they all come and take their bath and they sing such sweet little Brijbasi songs. It's so nice to hear the voices of the Brijbasis. I mean, when I go outside Braj, and people talk about somebody called Michael Jackson or somebody called Madonna, but as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing like hearing these little Brijbasi children with their sweet little voices singing these sweet little Brijbasi songs. So they always come in the night just singing their little songs. When Gopidas was there in the evening, he would get them to come and show all our girls, all the ladies, how to do gopi dancing, you know. And he used to sing so many Brijbasi songs. It's a very sweet place. So here, Badrinath, how did this come? There was one time, Lala, he saw that Mother Yasoda was making funny type of prasadam. All little fried things. Just like the other day when we went to Manasi Ganga. All little fried things Lala was making. Mother Yasoda was making. So Lala came there and said, Maya? Oh, Maya, what kind of funny prasad you're making today? what kind of funny prasad you're making today? Oh, Maya, what kind of funny prasad you're making today? Lala, we're going on big pilgrimage, so I'm making all these little fried things, these little fried noodles and fried little crackers we call matri and fried dal and all these things that we'll keep for many days because we're going to be on the road for many days and we'll eat all of these things along the way. Acha, why are we going to Badrinath? Why are we going to Badrinath? Oh, Lala, you asked too many questions. Go ask your Baba. So he went, Baba, 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 where are you going, Baba? Where are we going, Baba? He says, Lala, we're going to Badrinath. Why, Baba? Why, Baba? Why are we going to go to Badrinath, Baba? Lala, many years ago, long before you were born, one time I worshipped Lord Badrinarayan, and I prayed to him that if I ever got a son, I prayed to him for a son, and I got you as my son. So now I want to go there and offer puja to Lord Badrinarayan in thanks. But Baba, Baba, is it very far away? Lala, it is 327 kros from here. Just like we go in Trasi kros, it is 327 kros. Lala said, Baba, Baba, it's only 20 kos. Lala, what are you talking? No, Baba, come, come. And Baba, he took Nanda Maharaj's finger and said, come on, Baba. And all the Brijbasis followed him. And he came to this place. This is the Badrinath of Braj. And they came there, and there was Lord Badrinarayan was there. Uddhav was there, because we know Uddhav, he's also staying in Badrinath. He went to stay in Badrikashram. So he's also there. Uddhav is there. So Lala, he brought all the Brijbasis there, because he didn't want them to go outside of Braj. So he manifested all the holy places. Next we're going to go to Nandagram. See, we didn't have to go to Kumbh Mela. But we went there for preaching, not for taking bath. But anyway. So then, when Baba saw that Badrinath is here, he said, well, Lala, then Kedarnath must be nearby also. He says, yes, Baba, come, come, Baba. And they went to another place, and there's a place where you have to walk up about 300 steps way up to the top. And there's a big rock lying like this, and underneath you have to crawl inside, and there's a little Shivaling, Kedarnath Mahadev. So you have to walk all over the stairs, crawl under the rock, pour your water, give some donation to the little pujari who's sitting there, and then come all the way back down those steps. And then we go along the path and we pass through many Muslim villages. You say Hare Krishna, Radhe Shyam to everybody, and they just ignore you. You can't get anybody to, you know. Somehow on that side of Braj, there's a lot of Muslim villages, just like our Jagannath temple. When you go there sometime on Prikama, then you say, Hare Krishna, and they go, Allah, Allah. So this place, nobody will say Hare Krishna, nobody will take, because wherever we go, we're always just sitting, nobody will take prasad in these villages. But eventually we come to a very nice hill, and there's some steps there that, because it's all exposed, the mixture has sort of become, you know, as the rain came down year after year after year, it's become quite uneven, and it's a long walk. It's, you know, from Kedarnath, you know, we've been walking for about 16 kilometers. So I'm just praying that if somebody ever becomes rich, they'll come there and repave the steps up to the top there. Or if you ever get married to a very rich man, then you can come there and pave the steps up to the top of this. Because after walking 16 kilometers, you don't want to walk on this very rough surface. But anyway, we're going to go up there. Because on top of this hill, one time, Krishna was playing, because it's nice breeze. When you go on top of the hills, even if it's very hot downstairs, you go up on top, nice breeze, and Krishna was there enjoying the breeze. And he saw that all the cows had wandered here and there. So he picked up his flute, and he began to play in his flute, and he played such a sweet sound. Krishna's flute is so sweet that many amazing things happen. Rivers stop and become motionless, just like solid things. And solid things like stones begin to melt and flow like rivers. So he was playing his flute on that top of that hill, and the rocks melted and left the impression of Krishna's lotus feet. You can see there's some toes are there, and then on the other side you see the footmark. You know, because he's always standing with his one foot with his toes down, the other foot like that. So you can see a little toe mark is there and a little foot mark is there. So this hill we call Pahari, and foot means Charan. So this is Charan Pahari. And from there we go down. There's a beautiful lake surrounded by these Kejari trees, you know, all these date palms, although they don't cut them up like they do here, but so many date palms are there for some reason, I don't know why. But there's a beautiful little lake there. This is called Luklukikund. Now what happened was the cowherd boys used to come to this kund and sit by the side when they're tired of herding the cows on top of Charanpari. They would come down and they would sit there by the side of the kund. It's a very cool and peaceful place. And Radharani and all the Sakis would come from the other side to take bath. So they didn't see because the cowherd boys are all resting, so they didn't see the cowherd boys there. So then Krishna, he sneaks into the water and he comes underwater and he can look, he can see under the water. It looks called Luklukikund. So he could see under the water and he grabs under Radharani's feet and she just screams and jumps in the sky. Or sometimes if he can't find Radharani, then he grabs Lalita's feet or Visakha's feet. And this way, every day there's a big festival in this Luklukikund. Krishna goes under the water and sees the gopis' feet and squeezes them and gives them a big fright. So this is Luklukikund. So now we're on the edge of one of the biggest forests of Vrindavan, Kamyavan. So Kam we know means desire. So here is the place where all the devotees' desires are fulfilled in Kamyavan. And this is a very, very incredible place. It's sort of far away. It's actually in Rajasthan. Because now Zadi Badri and Kedarnath, they're all in Rajasthan. This corner of Braj is in Rajasthan. So it's a little far away. Very rarely we take prikamas there. Only during Kartik when the Braj Mandal Prikama we go there. So to the devotees it's mainly a mysterious place. But this sometimes, because they were cowherds, sometimes you know the cows would eat all the grass so they would move to another place. So sometimes they used to come and stay in Kamyavan. In fact, they call Kamyavan also the hidden Vrindavan. And in this Kamyavan, according to the Maturya Mahatmya, there are 60 million tirs in Kamyavan. They go on and on and on. There's Chapan Kund and 84 wells. And 700 this, and I can't remember, it just goes on and on and on when they start talking about Kamyavan. But it's got many, many wonderful places. Very, very special places. And usually we stay on the side of a wonderful place called Bimalkund. Now this is, Bimalkund has a very, very interesting history. One time, in Sindh, which is now part of Pakistan, there was a king named King Bimaldev. And King Bimaldev, he had opulence greater than King Indra. He had very, very pious citizens, all very dharmic citizens, which is very important because we heard the other day the king gets 1/6 of all the karma of the citizens. So he had very, very pious citizens. And he had very, very beautiful queens. Plural. How many queens he had? He had 1 lakh queens. 100,000 queens. And despite having 100,000 queens, King Bimaldev had no daughter. But he had no son. He had 1 crore of daughters. Can you imagine having 999,999,099 sisters? He had 1 crore means 10 million. Just like they said in Kumbh Mela, on the big day, the Amavasya day, 3 crores, 30 million people. It was the biggest city on the planet for one day. 30 million people came. 3 crores. But he had 1 crore of daughters. So, One time, the great sage Yajnavalkya visited his kingdom. He saw the opulence of the kingdom. He noted how the citizens were so pious. He came to King Bimaldev's palace. As soon as King Bimaldev saw him, he immediately sat him down on his throne. He washed his feet. He sprinkled the water on his head and all of his family members. And he sat there with folded hands. And Yajnavalkya said, "My dear king, I have seen your kingdom. It is a very, very beautiful kingdom. You have got opulence greater than the king of heaven. You have very, very pious citizens. You have so beautiful queens I've never seen anywhere. But still I see some unhappiness in your face." Prabhupada said, "Face is index of the mind. You've got everything that anybody could want. Now what's the problem?" He says, "No, everything you say is true. Everything is exactly like you say. But I want to have a son and I don't have any son. I have 1 crore of daughters." So then Yajnavalkya, he said, "I will give you a benediction. It will be better than getting a son. Because just now Dwapar Yuga is coming to an end. So now the incarnation of the Lord is going to appear in Mathura. You just send your messenger there, your ambassador there, and you find that incarnation of the Lord. He's known as Vasudev, son of Vasudev. And you bring him back here and marry your 10 million daughters to him. You give the hand of your 10 million daughters in marriage to him. You will get benediction better than getting a son." Gotcha? "But how will I recognize this incarnation?" He said, "He has a beautiful Pitambar dhoti." You know, Pitambar means yellowish. "He's blackish like a monsoon cloud. He wears a beautiful peacock feather in his crown. And he has beautiful lotus petal eyes. And he has 4 arms with chakra gada panda shankha. Conch shell, disc, lotus flower and club." So he sent his messenger there to Mathura. And the messenger was wandering here and there asking people about the son of Vasudev. As soon as he talked about Vasudev, everyone began to tremble and they ran away from him. And he heard somebody said that Vasudev had no children, somebody said that they were all killed. He couldn't get any straight answer. Everyone just became frightened and ran away. And he was frustrated. Then he met one gentleman who took him aside and said, "My dear friend, in our kingdom of Mathura, we have a very, very cruel king called Kans. And in this kingdom, it is against the law to ask about the sons of Vasudev. It's forbidden to ask. So, if you at all value your head, you want it to remain on your shoulders, you shouldn't ask this question. I'm not telling you this with envy in my heart. I'm telling you this as good advice, as a well-wisher. Don't ask any more about the sons of Vasudev. Go back from wherever you come and keep your head on your shoulders." So now he was really frustrated. So he didn't know what to do. So what to do? So he went back. As he crossed, on the way back, he crossed the Jamuna over to Gokul. Now there in Gokul, he suddenly saw, playing with all the cowherds there, a beautiful Shyam Varn little boy, blackish like a monsoon cloud, peacock feather in his crown, beautiful yellow dhoti, like that, beautiful lotus petal eyes, but only 2 arms, with no Shankha Gada Padma Chakra, only flute. But it looks exactly like Yajnavalkya said. He was very confused. So he went back to Sindh, and he told Raja Vimaldev everything. So at that time, just so happened, Narad Muni was there. And Narad Muni, he always appears whenever there's, you know, he always appears always at the right time. He always appears right at the right time. So he told Narad Muni the whole story. Narad Muni said, no, that's the one you want. He said, later, after some years, when he goes back to Mathura, then he'll have this Shankha Gada Padma, all these 4 arms. Now he's got, that's the one you want. That's the incarnation of this age. You go there and get him. So then he sent his dut, his ambassador, you go back there. So he went back there to Gokul. And he thought this is a secret thing that you should talk to him alone. So he waited. And he saw that in the morning he's with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda. All day long he's with the cowherd boys. In the evening he's with the gopis. He never found him alone. He's always either he's with the gopis or he's with the cowherd boys or he's with Mother Yasoda. He's never alone. One day all the boys were playing in the Jamuna. They were climbing up a tree. Had a big branch over the Jamuna. And they would climb out and jump in the water and run up and climb and jump in the water. And they became very, very tired. And they all lay down under the trees and everyone went, took rest. And Krishna also, he put his head on the root of a tree and he lay down. And the dude saw that he was all alone. And he went there and he approached him and began to speak to him and told him his whole message. And Krishna said, "Are, why didn't you tell me before?" He said, "Well, I wanted to find you alone. I never found you alone, you know." He said, "No matter." Then Krishna grabbed his hand, and Krishna very expertly, without even an airplane, he began to fly through the airways. And they flew all the way to Sindh. As he was coming down, Maharaj Bimalde was doing a big jagya as he saw his dut was coming with that beautiful Shambharan boy with the beautiful lotus petal eyes and peacock feather and pitambar dhoti and everything. He told all the Brahmins, "Now chant the mantras for Vibaha Yajna." You know Vibaha? Vibaha means marriage. This is called Vibaha Yajna. Now, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but there's another word very similar to Vibaha. I don't know. There seems to be some connection practically, whether there's actually in Sanskrit. It's called Vibad. You know Vibad? Vibad means argument. After Vibaha comes Vibad. So anyway, Vibaha means marriage sacrifice. So they began to chant all the mantras for marriage sacrifice. And when Krishna arrived there, then he gave the hand of his 10 million daughters to Krishna in marriage. And then, at that moment, a Vaikuntha airplane came down, put Maharaj Bimaldev inside that Vaikuntha airplane and took him straight in the self-same body and took him back to Vaikuntha. He got benediction, better than getting son. And then Krishna, he took all of those 10 million gopis and he brought them back to Kamyavan. And they began to dance and do rasa dance. And they were dancing and dancing and dancing and they were all crying tears of ecstasy and so many pearl-like drops of perspiration were coming from their foreheads. They were just dancing wildly and wildly and it formed one of the most beautiful and picturesque kunds of all of Braj, Bimalkund. Formed from the transcendental perspiration and tears of ecstasy of the gopis. And it is a huge kund with so many beautiful temples all around it, and it's one of the most picturesque places in Braj. And they say, because we heard on the Diwali day in Manasi Ganga, they put lamps all around the Manasi Ganga. So since that's on the Diwali day, on the Ekadasi day that comes after that, I've never seen it because that's also our festival at Vrindakund that day. So they put lamps all around the Bimalkund. And there's a beautiful palace on the west, on the eastern side of the Kund. Beautiful white palace. It's abandoned now, but it's a beautiful white palace. And when the sun goes down in the west and the sky turns pink, the pink sky reflects on that palace. That palace turns pink and the reflection comes in the water. And it's the most beautiful scene. It's so a beautiful place. And so many beautiful temples are there. There's also a tree there with its branch out over the water. And there's also a big private bathing ghat for all the ladies to go and bathe with nobody around to bother them. And there's a big tree with this branch and all the young girl coolies that want to show off, they all climb up there and jump. Somebody come way out on this branch and they jump. And sometimes we used to put a rope there and we used to swing out and splash in the kund. It's a very beautiful place, Bimalkund. Now this Bimalkund, because cowherd boys sometimes used to come and play here and so many pastimes took place here, even when Krishna was older, this place has very interesting history, because nearby is Dharmakund, just to lead up to We'll leave Bhimakund for a minute. We'll go over to Dharmakund just to get some idea of the history of this place. Dharmakund, remember one time when the Pandavas were in exile, they were wandering through the forest and they came to Kamivan. Prabhupada mentioned this in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Pandavas came to Kamivan. That time they were very, very thirsty, but there was no water around. So somebody climbed up a tree. He saw in the distance the type of trees that generally grow around the place where there's water. You know, there's types of trees. When you see a bunch of water, there's always certain types of trees that grow anywhere and everywhere, but there's always trees that only you find where there's water. So he sent Sahadev, youngest, go bring some water. Sahadev went there. He saw that nice crystal clear water. He was just so thirsty. He ran down to drink. A voice came and said, "Don't drink or you'll die." He didn't care for that voice. He thought, "I'm Sahadev. Who can stop me?" And he drank that water and died. When Sahadev didn't come, then Yudhishthira said, "What's going on?" He said, "Nakula, go find out what's going on." Nakula went there. He saw his brother dead, but he was so thirsty, he just ran down to drink. Voice said, "Don't drink or you'll also die." He drank and he died. When Sahadev didn't come, then he sent Nakula didn't come. He sent Arjun. Same thing happened. He sent Bhima. Then finally, Yudhishthira himself went there. And even he saw his dead brothers there. He didn't care. He was just so thirsty. He just ran down. He went to drink. Voice came. He said, "Don't drink or you'll also die just like your brothers." He said, "Well, first you have to answer my questions, then you can drink." He said, "Well, how can I talk to a voice that's unembodied?" So immediately that voice took on the form of a yaksha, whatever that is. Whatever form that is, I don't know. But anyway, it took the form of a yaksha sitting in a tree. And he began to ask questions. So this chapter of Mahabharata is called Yaksha Prashna. You know Prashna? Questions. Yaksha Prashna, questions. So we know the very famous question that Prabhupada always talked about, Kimascharjam. And we talked together, we already told about the, or some of you weren't here, anyway, we'll tell about the, there's another question that he, because Kimascharjam, you know Kimascharjam? What is the most amazing, most wonderful thing? And Yudhishthira Maharaj answered that everybody sees his grandfather, his father, his uncle, aunt, everybody has gone to the kingdom of death, but those people who are still remaining somehow think they're going to get free. And they go on living their life as if there's no death. This is the most amazing thing. Ascharjam. Kim ascharjam. But some of the questions were multiple choice. So one time he asked a question. We'll tell it short this time. How do we know a Brahman? By his birth? By his knowledge? By his study of scriptures? Or by his behavior? Multiple choice, A, B, C, or D. So anyway, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, somebody may be born a Brahman, but he may not manifest qualities of a Brahman. Someone may be very learned, but sometimes we see... Or someone may be a great scholar of scriptures, but sometimes they become very puffed up with their knowledge and they become very cruel and hard-hearted. He said, but we can know a Brahman by his behavior. He chose D, A, B, C, and D. Multiple choice was D. Anyway, at the end, the yaksha told him, "All right, I'm very pleased. You've answered all of my questions. Now you can take one boon from me. Because you've answered all my questions, I'm very pleased. One of your brothers you can bring back to life." And Yudhishthira Maharaj meditated for a while. And he said, "Let Nakul come back to life." And the yaksha said, "What? I was sure you were going to ask for the great archer Arjun, or at least the powerful Bhima. But you asked for one of the younger brothers. Why?" He said, "Well, I myself... in the representative of Kunti, but there's no representative of Madri alive, so if one of my brothers should become alive, she should also have at least one representative, so therefore I chose Nakul." Just see the nobility. We don't see noble persons like this anymore. Yudhishthira Maharaj is so noble. He could have asked for Arjun or Bhima, he asked for Nakul, thinking that at least one representative of my stepmother should also be living in this world. So then that Yaksha revealed himself. He was none other than Dharmaraj, who's the actual father of Yudhisthira Maharaj. He was so pleased, he brought all of the brothers back to life. And then they went to live at Bimalkund, on the bank of Bimalkund. It was a big lake, so they went to stay there. And what happened there was one time Duryodhana, Durvas Muni. We know this Durvas Muni. He's a very interesting character. He's a great sage, but he's always very angry. Huh? Although he can be easily pleased, sometimes he gets very angry also, because he's just like his partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, who's known as Asutosh. So he's always very angry, this Durvas Muni. So Duryodhan, he came to Duryodhan's palace with 10,000 disciples. He took care of him very nicely. When he asked if he wanted some benediction, he said, "No, I don't want any benediction, but you must go visit my cousin brothers who are living in the forest, and you should go." He gave them a certain time. He said, "We don't want to create inconvenience for them, so you should go at this time only." And he had calculated, because Draupadi had a plate, or had a pot, that supplied unlimited amounts of food until she had taken her meal. Then it stopped till the next day. So then Pandavas never had any trouble. Never any shortage of prasadam. So he had calculated, about this time Draupadi must take her meal, so you should go at that time. He didn't tell him what it was, his calculation, but that was his mind. Do you think he will go there with 10,000 disciples? Draupadi will have eaten. There won't be anything way to satisfy. Durvas Muni and his 10,000 disciples will become angry. He'll turn them all into toads or something. So Durvas Muni arrived there. Just at that time, Draupadi had just taken her meal. And suddenly he arrived there with his 10,000 disciples. And Draupadi said, "Oh my goodness, Durvas Muni's here." She didn't know what to do. She said, "Maharaj, please go take your bath and I'll get something together." And you just imagine, 10,000 disciples, 10,000 devotees show up at your temple. What are you going to do? Food for life. Food for life, yeah. I told this one time, Lakshmi Moni and Mother Nanda, who's the president of Alachua, she came there. And I said, "What are you going to do?" They said, "We're going to call your wife." There's a Kuti's there in Alachua in the Vaishnava Academy for Girls. And she, whole Sunday feast in Alachua is cooked practically by her. Anyway, we'll call a Kuti. Anyway, they didn't have a Kuti there. So she sent them off, and then she didn't know what to do. And she was just thinking. So she began to meditate on Madhava, Lord Krishna, who's the husband of the goddess of fortune. So just then, Krishna appeared, and he said, "Oh, Draupadi, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so hungry." And she said, "That's the whole problem. I don't have anything. And now you're also hungry." And she began to cry. Prabhupada said, "This is a secret weapon of the woman." She started to cry. Then he said, "Calm down, Draupadi. Can't you just bring your pot? Let me see." "But I already washed it. There's nothing." He said, "No, you bring that pot." So on the side of the pot, there was a little tiny piece of sag, spinach, was sticking there. He took that spinach, he drank a glass of water, he said, "Santosmi, now I'm fully satisfied." This was not only enough to satisfy me, but the whole creation will be satisfied because you've offered this with such love and devotion. Because naturally, Krishna is the root of the entire universe. So if he's satisfied, then everything else is satisfied. Just like we pour water in the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches automatically satisfied. All the fish in the water were totally satisfied. All the animals in the forest were totally satisfied. Everyone was totally satisfied. Even all Durvas Muni and all his 10,000 disciples, they were sitting they were taking their bath in the water, and suddenly they felt like, just like we did after we went to Jagannath Temple yesterday. In Spanish, you can understand. We call it bien bloqueado. They all felt like that. So, at that time, Krishna, he told Bhima, he said, "Now you go call Durvas Muni and all his disciples." And Draupadi said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't worry, Draupadi, everything is alright." So Bhima picked up his club, put it on his shoulder, and he walked down to the river where Durvas Muni and all his disciples were bathing. In the distance, they saw Bhima coming with his club. They thought, well, this guy, he'll just take that club and beat us to death if we refuse to go for prasad. Let's get out of here without even drying their cloth and not even dressing it properly. Just wrapped his wet cloth. They all ran and they ran and they didn't stop until they got to Brahmalok. And Bhima went everywhere. He couldn't find anyone. So there's so many places, so many pastimes happen. This Jayadras came one time and tried to run off with Draupadi, and Arjun captured him and they were going to kill him, but somehow Draupadi let him go free. And so many pastimes happened at this Bimalkund. Very special place. So, now I think it's time. So we'll ask for... But now there's lots of more wonderful pastimes in Kamyuan. We'll hear about tomorrow. If there's any questions. Yes?
How do you manage to remember all the pastimes right on time?
Right on time, because I spend the whole, after lunch, I spend the whole day studying, and morning after breakfast, I study. And
you must have been
but
working the parikrama, like...
Mainly studying just to, because sometimes I lose little details here and there. And some stories I don't tell, so now we're in Kamivan, I don't tell stories so often there, but... And this one, this pastime, I don't have on my computer anywhere. This one, it's kept here.
Studying from personal notes?
Different books and different books about Braj Parikrama and things like that. Mainly just from doing just what you're doing, just listening. That's how I started. Padmalochan Prabhu was my original Dham Guru. He, just by listening to him and reading his book, Chintamani Dham, and I learned so many things. Every year I would come for the festival and hear the stories and over and over again, so they became impressed in my heart, so I keep them there. And as soon as you get to the place, then automatically they just come out automatically. Now I have to study because we're just sitting, we're not going to the place. So, but this is ecstatic for me because most of the time I'm just running a prickle, I don't get time to study, and now I'm brushing up on all the little, because sometimes as you tell the story over and over, you lose little details here and there, and little pieces here and there you forget. And so now this is my study for now when I go to Braj, we go on prickle and then I have all the stories all polished up because I never get a chance to polish them. So if there's no more questions, then we can all fall down at the very soft and supremely wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's fulfilling all our desires by giving us Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki.